Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today is Andrew Hall. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Robert.
Andrew's a frequent guest of the show and one of the world's foremost experts in debugging in Visual Studio.
Well, I guess so.
Well, you're on the team that makes
the
features.
I've been here a while,
so you're an expert. You were on a while ago to do some debugging tips and tricks.
That's right.
And there was a demo that we didn't quite get to, partly due to time, partly because we weren't sure the best way to present it. But we huddled, and now we think we've got a good plan for presenting it. So you're going to show us multi-threaded debugging.
I am, debugging
in multi-threaded scenarios.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some tips and tricks and features we have in the product that make that a little bit easier.
Okay, cool.
So let's jump in and take a look at it real quick.
Now, these are all brand new features in the product, right?
No, most of these have been in the product since Visual Studio 2010.
Oh, okay.
But Visual Studio is a big product, and our data shows us that they're not used that often. So,
All right.
Though it's always good to come talk about
stuff. Well, I heard today somebody said that only 13% of Windows users use Alt-Tab.
I could believe that.
Yeah, so just because the feature's in there doesn't mean that everybody knows it's in there.
That's right.
All right.
So, so to start off, I have an application here that's going to calculate prime numbers between 0 and 1,000. I'm going to click the button, and it's going to do that in parallel. Mm-hmm. Calculating prime numbers can be kind of slow, so I want to take advantage of all my cores to make sure that happens faster. And as I glance at this, I can see a few bugs in here. I can see that I have 5, 9, 15, 25, 35. Obviously, none of those are prime numbers. 35 is a multiple of 5, 25 is a multiple of 5, 15 is a multiple of 5. Mm-hmm. So we clearly have a bug in our calculations. And so I'm going to go ahead into the, so let's talk about why multi-threaded debugging tips and tricks can come in handy. So I'm going to go ahead and jump in here, and I have this function isPrime. And now I will get it out of the way ahead of time to say I could very much just go in and modify my code to make this run serially and all my multi-threaded problems will go away. So instead of calculating multiple prime numbers in parallel, I could just go ahead and modify the code.
But that doesn't fix the problem.
Well, it doesn't fix the problem. It makes it easier to debug, but one of the ideas behind debugging tools...
Why does it make it easier to debug?
Okay, great question. So let's jump in here and talk about some of the problems that sometimes come from multi-threaded debugging. So I'm going to click the button, and let's pick 35. That's one I have selected here, so that seems like as good one. And I need to focus on what the bug is. So I'm going to go ahead and click the button. And I'm going to hit the breakpoint, and I can see here that n is 1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that might be what you would expect. I just pinned my little data tip here, too. Oh, come back. Go ahead and stick there. All right, so we can look at what n is every time. Another little tip and trick. You can pin data tips. So I'm going to hit continued F5 again. N is 0. N is 3. So in a multi-threaded world, I can't predict what number is going to come in here, right? Because they're all coming in parallel.
Okay.
So in a perfect world...
So you've got multiple threads, each one of whom is in this function, and as you hit the breakpoint, you don't know which thread you're on.
Correct. So let's pick. Let's say that n actually 2 is prime, but 4. So again, these keep jumping around. So let me hit F10 to step. That's the keyboard shortcut to step. And as I try to step, notice I actually hit the breakpoint instead of completing my step. So I have to remember to come in here and unset my breakpoint, and then I can step again. And now n is 5, and then n was 7 because I stepped different times. So you sort of this inherent problem that the same code path can be getting executed over and over again on each thread, and by default, the debugger is going to do what you asked it to do, and it's going to hit the breakpoint on each and every thread, and every time you step on that thread, it's going to complete that step on that thread, so I can be going back and forth between threads.
So if you step through, you're still swapping from thread to thread?
Not if you step, so we will only ever stop on a thread that you started a step on, but I hit the breakpoint the first time, and I hit F10 to step, and then I hit the breakpoint again before that next step completed, and I hit F10 again, so now I've started stepping on multiple threads, and I have to keep in my head which one's which by looking at the value of n.
But if you put the breakpoint on if n equal to and then stepped through, would you stay in that thread?
So you said if I put the breakpoint at n equals 2, yes, I would have not stopped on another thread.
Okay.
So it's actually a first tip and trick. It's not purely a multi-threaded debugging tip and trick, but it comes in really, really handy when debugging code in parallel is to leverage conditional breakpoints to only stop when You're processing data in parallel, like I am right now, with looking at a list of numbers and saying, is this number prime? It can be consuming that on a bunch of different threads.
Right.
And so if I conditional breakpoints is a great way to only stop on the particular thread that's processing the data that you know that there's a problem with.
Assuming that you know ahead of time which one is the problem.
Assuming you know ahead of time which one's the problem.
Right.
That's correct.
In this case, we could probably get away with it because we could just pick n of 25 and see what happens, right?
Correct. So let's go ahead and do that. So I'm going to go ahead and click the settings icon here and come in and set my conditional breakpoint. You said n equals 25. Let's go ahead and close that. So now I'm going to hit F, continue debugging. It's going to resume all of those steps and all of that thread state. Hopefully I haven't already passed 25. I never saw n pop up to be 25. We'll find out pretty quick. Oh, got to hit continue a couple times. And now we've stopped at n equals 25. So now, if I start stepping, because you asked this question, no other thread should ever satisfy that conditional breakpoint than n equals 25. And so if I start stepping, I would not expect to stop on any other thread. And indeed, notice
right.
n has stayed 25, n has stayed 25 up there.
Okay.
So first tip and trick, just use conditional breakpoints. They work in other places as well, but they're a great thing to leverage when you're processing data in parallel like we just did here. And I found a lot of times, a lot of the bugs that I've dealt with in multi-threaded debugging do come in this pattern where you have a big list of stuff, you say, I want to make sure it happens faster, you process a bunch of things in parallel, you get the results back, and you say, ooh, there's some problem with this, you know, item number, this widget number, or whatever, and so you go back and debug it, and you want to leverage that conditional breakpoint to say only when the ID number equals this, or whatever, like some condition based on the data, and then you don't really care which thread processes it, but you don't deal with some of those problems I showed up there with just normal breakpoints about hitting it, and then you're stepping through and kind of jumping back and forth between threads.
Okay.
And then, so once you've stopped on that thread, if you start stepping, we'll never complete a step on a thread that you didn't start on when you did a step.
Right.
But if you start stepping from multiple threads, then you can go back and forth whichever one the step completes on next.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a mouthful, but hopefully the demo helped make that it's more of a pain point. So
right.
to be confusing. So a couple more tips and tricks I mentioned, kind of trying to understand where I was and things like that. So I have the debug location toolbar on by default, and that you can see this up here, and by default, it's going to show me a list of all the threads that I'm on.
Mm.
And so when I'm hitting various breakpoints, I can basically look at which the current thread's always selected up here. So next question that you might have is, where are all the other threads? So we know that we had multiple threads going. I'm going to click this little option here that says show threads in source. And what this is going to do is this is going to ask the debugger to show a little glyph in the icon that's going to find all the places that I have threads in my code. So I can see here that we have a little bit of a collision icons, but obviously my current thread is here on where the yellow instruction pointer is.
Okay.
And it looks like I have some other threads under this conditional breakpoint. And I can see that I have three threads under this conditional breakpoint. I don't know how many threads total I have, but I can solve that by using another feature of the debugger. It's a window that we have under debug windows, and it's called the parallel stacks window. And when I open the parallel stacks window, it's going to show me all the threads that I have in my process and where they're currently executing.
Mm.
So I can see that I have 11 total threads in the process. I can see that 7 of them have taken this path to here, numbersutilities.calcPrime, and then 3 of them are currently in this particular function isPrime. And then I have one that's also currently in isPrime somewhere, but it just took a slightly different path to get there.
Okay.
So it turns out because I'm using the task library and a parallel link query that you have basically the main thread is one of the threads that took the unique path here, and then there's another threads that have been created as a result of the task library. So that's why I have a slightly different call stack for how they got to where they were. But the parallel stacks window is showing me all the threads in my process in one nice window.
So 8 threads calculating primes, does that mean you have an 8-core processor?
That means that there's 8 cores on here. That's
that
correct.
Simple?
It can be. It's not always. So
I
used the parallel link to do this, which is built on top of the task parallel library.
Mm-hmm.
And it's optimized to try to take advantage of the number of cores that you have. So for a parallel job, in a case like this, you're almost always going to get the number of threads that match your number of cores.
Okay.
But it's not guaranteed. Okay. And if you were creating threads yourself using the thread pool or something like that, obviously you're going to have as many as you choose to create or not create.
Okay.
And if you had something else in your process that was going on that was really chewing up a lot of one core, the task library might decide to kind of let that core keep processing it and actually create less threads than you had cores. So sort of non-deterministic, but good rule of thumb. But yeah, in this particular case, 8 threads, 8 cores on this particular machine. So that's what you're seeing.
Got it.
So we were talking a little bit ago about some various features. So let's say now I need to manage some state. I want to get my threads into some various places. So for example, because notice I have 8 threads, but we only have 3 of the threads, or 4 of the threads that are currently calculating prime numbers. So let's go ahead and let's say I want to call out all of these threads in some capacity. And I can do this. So I can right click. And I can now control threads using flags. So this marks threads for special functionality. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna choose to flag all of my threads. And this is going to now let me control those threads in various ways. So I'm going to go ahead and come in here. And I want to go ahead and say flag. So I should now have multiple flagged threads. There's there. Those are all there. And let's say I want to see what happens if I get them all to the exact same line of source code. Let's see if they can all get to this exact same line of source code. So what I can do is I can right click and I can say run flag threads to cursor. So as I do that, it's going to run all of my threads to there. And now when I hover over it, you're going to see that all of the threads in the process are now exactly there. And I have 8 threads that are currently calculating if a number is prime, as opposed to a minute ago when we only had 4 threads that were here and then 4 threads were somewhere higher up the stack doing we didn't know what at the particular time. So flag functionality in combination with the run flag threads to cursor is a good way if you want to sort of figure out, control the execution of your process to get all of the threads to a certain place. Mm-hmm. So certain places you could imagine this functionality becoming useful is if you were trying to debug a deadlock or a race condition, and you're saying, well, what would happen if I got all the threads to here, right, and then, you know, this thread's the one that executes next, or these other threads are swapped out and they're not executing. So the next functionality that would be helpful with that would be the ability to tell threads that you didn't want them to run. So at the moment, now let's pretend that we want to let all the other threads go, but we're trying to figure out why 25 isn't prime in this particular case. How do I know which thread n is 25 on?
You'd have to be able to see what the value of n was on each of the threads.
I would have to be able to see what the value of n was in each thread. So I'm going to use the parallel watch window. I'm going to use a quick find feature up here. And this is another feature in Visual Studio, the quick launch up there. So I'm going to go ahead and open the parallel watch window. And let's look for the value of n. And so now the parallel watch window shows me what the value of n is across every single thread that is executing in a current function. And so sure enough, I have this thread 9848 is currently the one that has n25. So I'm going to go ahead and just right click on it, and I can choose to freeze threads. And what this says is when I resume execution, this thread isn't allowed to run until I choose to thaw. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is I'm going to go ahead and freeze this particular thread. And then we're going to unflag it, and I'll show you why in a minute. So now let's go ahead and come back to here, and let's go ahead and say run flag threads to cursor again. And so as I do that, all the other threads have now come back up here. And then I can see the values of, by virtue of the fact that they've all turned red, they're now all processing a different n. But the thread that I froze, this 9848 thread, is still here, getting ready to determine if n can be factored or n cannot be factored. So now we talked about using breakpoints before. It can sometimes be a little bit heavyweight to have to create a condition for each of my breakpoints, right? So for example, if I want to go down here into this can it can be factor, and I want to set a breakpoint to figure out what's going wrong, it's a little bit of extra work to have to say n equals 25, just for the virtue, to avoid having to have other threads hitting it. So if I don't want to step, because sometimes you can have, you know, long runs of code, it's kind of a pain to step. The other option that I now have would be to, I filtered this list to only the flag threads. So let's go ahead in here and let's just go ahead and select all of these. And let's choose to freeze all of these particular threads. So now let's go ahead back to, I can switch threads here. This is a good thing just to remember. This 9808, I can switch threads from the debug location toolbar. I mentioned that before. And now let's go ahead up here to this particular.
The N is 51.
It's this one should be it, 980. And let's let's go ahead and thaw this, or unfreeze it. It means I'm not going to let this one run, and all of the other threads in the process are not going to run. And so let's go ahead down here and figure out why 25 is not being correctly factored.
So you unfroze the one that's 51?
Oh, you're right. I did unfreeze the one that the wrong one.
Okay.
Oh, somehow I messed up, and we got past 25. I unfroze the wrong thread, so 25 is now gone. Ah, so let's come back in and do it again. That's all right. This is easy to undo in this particular case. So let's go ahead back in. Oh, come back. Conditions, N equals 25. Close. Calc primes. We're gonna go ahead and hit that. We expect N to be 25 on one of these particular threads. It is indeed 25.
You still got that filtered.
Oh,
right?
You know what? That's my problem. I was on the correct thread. I just was filtered.
Okay.
That was the problem.
Cool.
All right. So let's go ahead down here. And so I mentioned that we didn't want to have to set a conditional breakpoint every time. So I'm going to go ahead and go down here.
So all of the threads except 25 are frozen. So when you continue, the only one that's going to be running is the one where N's 25.
Correct.
Cool.
I noticed when I exited out last time that it took a lot longer to get back here after I clicked the button, and that's because I had inadvertently frozen all the other threads. Okay. So we were executing it serially. So that's the reason I wanted to calculate this in parallel. Sometimes mistakes prove a point. So we come down. We're still in N equals 25. Mm-hmm. And notice we hit this breakpoint on this, and so we can see that we want to make sure that I is less than limit. So I is 3, limit is 5. We should be good.
So here's a question. N still 25?
N still 25 in this particular case.
But you're on a different thread.
No, I'm not. Oh, thread ID changed, because remember I continued and we had to come back and execute, because we got confused by our own filtering.
That's right. Okay.
So we're going to figure out why 25 is being incorrectly considered to be a prime number. So what we're doing here is, turns out you actually only have to factor through the square root of a number. If you can't find a factor by the time you get to the square root of that number, then you can figure out, it's prime. So we don't have to factor or find everything up through 25. We don't have to see if 25 can be divided by 24, for example. We should just see if we can find a factor before of 1 through 5, basically, because that's the square root. So I, in this particular case, is going to be 3. Let's go ahead and just pin these so we can make sure that they see what's going on. So let's just step through the code now that everything's nicely frozen and that we can see what's going on. So I can see that I is going to be 5, limit's going to be 5, and so 25 should be divisible by 5. But that condition isn't satisfied, and so it turns out that my bug here is that I need to be less than or equal to this particular limit, not less than this particular limit. So let's bring this back up. Let's use another feature called edit and continue in the debugger just to take advantage of the fact that we can do that. It means I can edit code. So when I go ahead and hit F5 to continue executing, then let's go ahead and come back here and unfreeze all of our particular threads would probably be a good thing to do. So let me go ahead and just enter break state. Let's go ahead and unfreeze all of these, or thaw them. My apologies for the wrong language. Continue. Let's go ahead and calc our primes again. Unset our breakpoint. You never remember to unset those things, I tell you. And sure enough,
that looks good.
We don't have 15, we don't have 9, we don't have 25, we don't have 35. So it looks like we fixed our bugs and we are able to correctly calculate our parallel numbers, or our prime numbers in parallel using multi-threading.
That's really powerful.
Yeah.
So that's been in the product since 2010.
Yeah, most of the stuff's been in there since 2010. A few improvements have been made in subsequent versions.
And it's a feature of Pro, at least Pro.
Yep, it's available in Community and
probably
above.
Express too, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I hate promising that things are in Express.
Yeah, let's just say Community and above, and if you happen to find some of the features in one of the Express keys,
there's a good chance that it's still in Express, but. You'd have to double check that, but certainly in Pro or Community and above.
Absolutely.
Awesome. That's cool. So. All right. Thanks for coming on and showing that.
My pleasure.
All right. Good tips and tricks. We'll see you again next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.